I do need you to get a hold of yourself.
I'm clearing my throat.
You're having a meltdown.
Yeah, I know. I'm very... Oh, I'm hysterical, like, actually hilariously funny, though, is actually what you meant. Hi, my name's Robin. I've completed 2. We were worried we wouldn't have a cold open. Hi, my name's Robin. I've completed 2 Dragon Age games.
And I'm Dylan. I've played the Dragon Age series a million fucking 100 times.
100 million times. And this is Dwarfspawn. This is the Dragon Age book club. Bay.
Baby. God, I'm so fucking hyped.
Yeah? I'm excited too.
Best quests ever in the world.
As I was just telling Dylan.
Yeah,
we are recording this. It is 8:40 p.m. on the 15th of October, 2024.
What's your address?
I was like, okay, I can't say my current address. Maybe I can say the address I grew up in. And I was like, nope, because I still live there, technically. My parents are still in that address. I was like, okay, can't do that. Maybe I can do this address that I lived in Cardiff. And I really cycled through what real address I could put, and I didn't do any of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to... Dylan, text me at... 7:02 today, saying, what time Dorkspawn? I forgot we were doing Dorkspawn. And I was like, well, I'm just getting home from work, so we have time. Let's say 8:30. Because in my mind, I was like, I've done the mission. All I have to do is go to the war room. That's all it says. And I go to the war room and there's like a bit of a scene and I'm like, okay, all right. And then we're closing out the cutscene. And then I have to do the whole mission because
I'm truly worried that I didn't do it. Couldn't have gotten through it all in just like an hour.
I did. I fully did.
You did?
I fully did. Wow. Yeah. I got through the whole thing in an hour. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a fucking sick ass gamer. With huge balls and a tiny penis. It's unfortunate for me.
I really just like, I need you to castrate yourself is what I need you to do. Because I never want to hear mention of those balls ever again. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. Never mind. I was going to say a thing, but I actually think it'll be more fun if I don't say it.
What?
No,
you
it's
have
a
to
thing.
Say it now.
No, it's just next week is just an exciting week.
Because you'll be here?
Yeah. Go on then. Ruin it. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm going to be in New York. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. This is the last time.
They don't deserve a surprise. They don't. They haven't
they
earned
do. They
that.
Do. No, yes, they do, because they're part of the Inquisition. Before, in Dragon Age 2, when they were lowly scum filth, no, of course they didn't. But now they're part of the Inquisition, and the Inquisition demands respect.
Ugh, I don't know. It's still kind of like, what is it even? You know,
what
like,
even
what,
is the
what even is the Inquisition?
Pathetic, weird ass.
Who do you work for?
So, okay. So. Things that I have done. We started, last time we ended with Liliana being like, hey, all of the Grey Wardens have vanished and no one is taking me seriously when I talk about the fact that the Grey Wardens have vanished and how weird that is. And I, over the course of this week, have started feeling so bad for her, for Liliana, because... Yeah. Those are her friends.
Yeah.
The captain of the Grey Wardens and like one of the greatest Grey Wardens, she's not hearing from, and she must be freaking out, like really panicking. And I felt really bad for her this week. But as the last thing we heard, she was like this one guy called Blackwall. So go see him. I spoke to Josephine. She was speaking with the owner of Haven. In quotation marks, who's an Orlesian guy.
Mm-hmm. But says he has a claim on this place.
Yeah. and he's married to a lady, McCann of Denerim, who's the lady of Denerim. And then I speak to him, and then I speak to her, and she's like, it's fine, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Then I leave. I speak to Vivienne, who is a crazy interesting person.
She's so interesting.
Another win from Origins type.
Vivienne is so interesting. You said that she was a win type, which I
Well, get. It's a mage who really likes the circle, which is what she is and what she does. She talks a whole bunch about how, like, the mage rebellion is, like, it's not going to solve anything. And, like, well, now everyone thinks that we're terrorists because, you know, they're doing all this bad stuff. And a bunch of stuff that's, like, it's a really interesting perspective from a first enchanter. And it's, like, and, you know, first enchanters, I mean, I've said it, but it's, like, you know, they're the best little boys of the mages. They're the people who listen to the chantry, so, like, you know, enough that they eventually become first enchanter, stuff like that. And that's, you know, kind of, and that's, you know, what she is. And she kind of proves that in being like, yeah, I mean, all of these fucking mages, they're overreacting. It's not even that bad. And you're like, oh yeah, what was your circle like? And she's like, yeah, it was fine. It was a lot of fancy dinners. The Templars were really nice. I had a huge room. It was great. And you're like, okay. Yeah. And she's like, they're all kind of different. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and she also, I find Vivienne very fascinating because she is not just pro-circle, because she doesn't necessarily want them to stay the way that they are. She has dreams and ideals for shaping it, but she wants the circles to exist. She just wants mages to have, like, more of a hand in it. And that's kind of what she's done. She's built herself up within enough where she is like, we meet her at a fancy party outside the circle.
Yeah.
We've never, like, mages are almost always confined to the circles.
Yeah.
You know, in some way. And so she's like, she is kind of living this different life, and she's kind of made it that way. So she has a different perspective, and she has different goals than what we're used to.
Yeah, she calls herself a loyalist, and Fiona, who's the enchanter that we met last time, she calls them all rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Every circle is different. She gives me a very libertarian vibe. She's very, like, in the middle. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you can change things, but they're changing things too aggressively. And it's like, yeah, but they've changed things almost overnight by full, rebellion. And what you were doing was never going to change. Maybe in hundreds of years, maybe. I mean, hey, listen, let's go my own personal canon. Quentin saved all of Ferelden, said, hey, I want the circles to look after themselves. Nothing happened. Like, that's playing into it. Like, that's like,
yeah,
all right, well, let's work within the confines of what they want us to do. And it doesn't work immediately. Even a promise from the queen, from the person who saved the world, doesn't get it changed. But the mages rebelling, taking it into their own hands, that does.
That does work.
It's just interesting. So she's an interesting character.
She is. Did you go get Blackwall?
Yeah, you know I did. I got Iron Bull, and then I went to go get Blackwall. Iron Bull is, you, Krem comes to the door and is like, hey, we talked about this. Hey, Iron Bull is around. You go to the Storm Coast. You find Iron Bull and his mercenaries all duking it out.
They're in mid-fight,
You fight them, you help them, and then he's like, ah, thank you, that's awesome. Oh shit, you're the Inquisitor, what's up? And then you speak for a bit. Turns out that he's a Quinari spy, which I think is so fun because he is the biggest man that's ever existed. How is he a spy for anything ever?
I know.
And I always thought that was fun. Even on my first playthrough, I was like, I don't believe you're a spy. You're like five people wide.
Yeah.
Like you can't hide in the shadows.
And guess what? He doesn't like me. Not a fan of me.
Ooh.
Because I'm Talvashoth and I don't find the Kuhn fulfilling, which is very interesting because I have never done this exact kind of playthrough before. So I've never had this dialogue with him. He never really tells you when you start talking to him, unless you are a Qunari and you choose certain things. He doesn't tell you how he feels honestly about the Kuhn. He kind of just says, like, you know, it's got some pros, some cons or whatever. Like he kind of sums it up a little bit for you, but he doesn't really go into how he feels about it. But he, in that conversation with me, when I was like, when I like basically said that I don't think I missed it. And like, I, you know, I think my life was fine. He basically like said some kind of borderline hostile stuff to me where he was just like, yeah, we'll be fine because we're part of this same, you know, cause right now, but don't, you know, like he's just like, don't worry, you won't get any trouble from me, but yeah, that's wrong.
Wow. Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very interesting. And I was like, oh shit, that's actually,
I fuck with that real heavy, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating.
The fact that, like, your specific run shows a side of him that you wouldn't get otherwise, which is why I like, you know, I'm female elf, and Solas is really good to me. Like, he's, like, the most charming guy in the world. And that's a thing that I've been
Have you started flirting with him at all?
Yeah.
Did you get that hot line about side benefits?
No, not yet. Delicious. That will come soon, I'm sure.
Can't wait to hear about it. he's dreadfully hot. It's terrible.
Damn, that's crazy. I didn't take you for a Solas enjoyer.
I'm not. I don't like his romance as a whole. Controversial. But he has a couple of moments that are so sexy.
It's fun because I was talking about this with my friend and she was like, yeah, I just don't like Solas because if you're a female elf, he comes on like so strong immediately and he's just like very different to other things. And I fuck with that. I think that's cool. I like the fact that he's very different to me than he is to others.
I do too. Exactly.
Because it kind of shows who he is a little more. And it's the same with Iron Bull. It's like, you know, if you're a fucking Talvashoth, he's like,
with Sarah too. I like that. Like, you know, she's got like, she's got this, you know, sort of self-hatred about elves or this kind of internalized issue about elves. And so if you're an elf, like you have a steeper hill to climb to get through to her.
Yeah.
And if you're a Qunari woman, you have no hill to climb. You're in, baby.
but found Iron Ball.
Mm-hmm.
I then went to where Blackwall is because he is like training random people,
random civilians to defend in the hinterlands to defend against random attacks from mages and Templars.
Yeah. And now I need everyone to be really chill about this because I don't know, but I have working theories. So if you're listening to this and we haven't finished Inquisition, I need you to not even spoiler chat it in the Discord because I read all the spoiler chats because it's too tempting.
God,
having a little
so
thing.
You're so fucking annoying. You're impossible to live with.
You can't put a thing under a little mat and say, don't look under the mat. It's like, no, I want to. Like,
I'm kicking Robin out of the fucking Discord. You don't get to be in there anymore.
No, I like it.
You can't be fucking trusted. You're impossible.
Because people are saying, don't go in there. And this is my house. I'm going to go in there.
not your house anymore.
But
I've changed the locks.
He says some things. He's like, I'm like, yeah, every Grey Warden has received the calling. And he's like, well, I didn't. And I'm like, okay, but they all did. And he's like, nope. Well, maybe it got, or like, oh, but they've all left to someone. He's like, maybe they all went to Weishaupt and a message got back to me late. And I'm like, no, dude, that's weird. I don't think this guy's a Grey Warden. I think he's lying to me. Mm-hmm. I'm so sus. He's just, it's like, the things that he's saying is like, you're not a special little boy. Like, you're not so special that, I think my current working theory is that he almost did the proving, but never followed through on it. Like, didn't actually end up doing the joining. What's the proving?
The proving is in Orzammar, where you fight and kill a million people in the fighting pits.
The joining. Yeah. Yeah. I think that he was a Grey Warden, but didn't ever do the joining because of something happening that made, you know, his unit die or something like that. Anyway, it's weird.
Right.
I love him, though. He's, I think, my favorite character so far.
He does bring up something very interesting, though, about the Grey Warden treaties, which we used in the past.
And he has the treaties as well. Them. So that means that he clearly has been with them or stumbled across a dead body with treaties.
Our treaties that we used to stop the Fifth Blight. Where did he fucking get those?
Yeah.
But he's got the treaties, and that's actually like the hugest deal for like a baby Inquisition, like trying to start out, is that we could possibly have this like
we
this
could force
call
people
to arms from like four different major populations to come and join us. So that's pretty huge.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, I really like him. I think he's cool. Mm-hmm. Now, is it because he's a northern man? Very northern.
He's very northern.
And also a Grey Warden. My two favorite things.
Your two favorite things in the world. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I like him so
and
much.
And he also, you know, he talks, he has a really great line when you first meet him that I actually, you may not have gotten, but you have to choose specifically to get it. But it is what sells me on him in the beginning because he's like, I'll join up. And you're like, well, what is, you know, what is one person going to bring to the table? What can one person do? And he said, save the fucking world if pressed. And
that's
cool. A very Grey Warden thing to say. It's a very Hero Ferelden kind of reminisce.
I just think he's really cool. Also, whilst you're speaking to him, someone shoots an arrow at you and he pulls his shield out and blocks it in a move that had me swoon.
Yeah, oh, that's true. So, that's a pretty good one.
That's the fucking good one. That's very hot. I think he's great. I did, however, I've given him a full sword, like a big two-hander, because Cassandra has the sword and shield. I don't think I'll use Iron Bull a lot. So it's like, but I will be using Black Wall a bunch. So it's like, I didn't want two sword and boards at the party at the same time. So I was like, I'll have a more damage-based tank and then I'll have a thing. Because he can spec into, because it's like, unlike Cassandra, where she's kind of already started in the sword and shield, Iron Bull starts in nothing and has like a whole just dual, like whole big sword.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So you can just
you
level
can choose
him
to
in
put
it.
Him in whatever.
Oh, and then also I found,
I do have him sword and board because it just feels so,
it feels better for him to it be feels sword and board. I know. But so then I correct. Did a side quest. I did a Arthurian legend based thing. There's the Lady in the Lake. I went, and then the
Lady
spirit like gave me a giant two-handed sword, and I was like, that's pretty sick. And I gave it to I gave it to Blackwall. So I think he's really fucking cool. So I'm making a team. I have Solas, who's always on my team because I think he's really neat. I have Blackwall, who I almost always have on my team. And then the third party member is like bounces around to who I'm feeling at the time. I still love Cass. I love Varric very much, obviously. Sarah is my role, so I don't ever have her in the team. I know, and I should.
No, I get that. But you know what? there's some fun stuff that you might want to bring her on later. You'll know.
It's the thing.
Switch it up.
It's the thing where it's weird, right? Because, okay, before we get into like knee deep into story stuff, I mean, thinking a lot about our time here, about what we've done.
Okay.
Dragon Age Origins, I didn't really take many damaging mages out. I mean, I took Morrigan out a fair amount, but like she was specced into different things. I mean, you know what? That first point, that doesn't even matter. That doesn't even matter. Ignore it. I didn't like Dragon Age 2's mechanics at all. At the end of that game, I was so fucking sick of it. Man, I miss Dragon Age 2. I just miss it. I miss that whole party. I miss my team. I miss my city.
The gang.
I just miss it. I don't know what it is. It's like I'm picking
it
people
felt
up
like,
and I'm
it
like...
It feels like home. You're...
Kirkwall. Kirkwall is my city.
Kirkwall
and I love
is home.
It. And the thing is like I'm picking people up and it's like, yeah, I kind of like them, but I can like... You know, it's like Sarah, I don't really have much interest in putting in my party. Iron Bull is the same. And I'm like, man... Dragon Age 2, I would meet a person for 2 seconds and I would switch them. I would put them into the party and I'd switch people out in every fight. Every time I came across a horn, I'd be like, oh yeah, go on. And then I switched people out because I loved every single party member. And I'm here and I'm like, I don't know what it is, man. I miss two. I miss the party of two.
I feel the same way. And I said this while we were recording too. I feel the same way with Inquisition as I do with Origins versus two. In two, all these characters are so strongly written and they're all so strongly introduced to you that like their interesting catch is delivered to you right away. And it's like, that's who they are. That's their whole vibe. Like, and you know what they're about and you're like, you're bought in right away. Origins and Inquisition, the characters cook the more you spend time with them. Yeah. And so like, you gotta give them a chance and they will.
I will.
And I have more to say about that in this episode because again, I am being determined to switch my party up so that I can really get the most out of this like playthrough. Mm. And I have been surprised like a couple of times, like even as someone who's played the game, like a million times.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. All right. I'll give it a little bit more of a college try. I think a thing about two that I liked is that it was super easy to change out your party all the time because they're right there. It's like I'm just in Kirkwall. Yeah. I'm just going to dip into the Hanged Man and then I'm going to switch my party. I'm going to dip back out again. But in this, it's like yes, you have to go to a camp and camps are everywhere, but I still have to go to a camp. Like I still have, like it's so open world and it's like, I'm in the middle of something right now. Like I just want to kind of fuck around. And I do need to get that mod that you were talking about.
Yeah, if you get the mod.
Because they don't speak that regularly to each other. So it's like, I'm just shooting bears. And then I forget who's on my team because, you know, they're not talking to one another. They're just kind of mechanics at the minute. So I do want them to start talking, because there's a few things that people have said to each other that I think was really cool. Last week we had Cassandra talking to Varric and being like, hey, how's the Sebastian of Starkhaven, because he stormed Kirkwall and they were talking
right,
like,
exactly.
This is interesting and all this stuff, and it's like I wish they did that more.
And they all have such good stuff to say too. All right, so you got Blackwall, you got Iron Bull, I got them too.
Yeah,
we're set. We have essentially our parties. And then did you go after that? Did you go to Redcliffe?
I did go to Redcliffe.
So here's the thing. I did go to Redcliffe too. And I went looking around in Redcliffe. And do you know what I met? Who I met down at the pier?
Who?
Connor. All grown up.
Oh,
Our boy Connor,
yeah,
all grown
our
up.
Our boy, plural. Our guy.
But do you know what? I met Connor and I was like, I knew I wasn't going to go with the mages because I had made my mind up narratively. But I was like, I had saved my last game outside of Redcliffe. So I was like, why not just like go and explore and see what has to happen there?
Yeah.
So the first thing I do is I talk to Connor, and he's like, nobody understands how dangerous we are. Nobody is getting this. Nobody knows that I know. I almost killed my entire family. My mother is dead because of me and the thing that I am and what can happen to us. And he like comes out hard and is like, I don't understand how nobody remembers what happened and like how bad this can be. And I'm like, Jesus. Okay. And so I turned around and I left Redcliffe and I went and initiated Champions of the Just. I was like, you know what? Let's have that be like the final straw for me. I was like teetering on this. And then like you just meet a mage who just had the most horrendous demon experience of all time.
Wow. Yeah, he's dead for me.
He's dead for you, so he's not on that pier.
Wait, he's not dead. He's possessed. But potatoes, eh?
Potatoes.
Yeah, he's hard possessed, so no, he didn't. However, I did have a story of someone who was talking to me and being like I was just speaking to some random person. I was like, tell me the history of Redcliffe. And he's like, well, during the Blight, this village was stormed by demons every day at night. And then a blood mage went in and then killed the lady of Redcliffe. And then later the son just kind of left. He went weird and left. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's cool.
He went weird and left is great, actually.
Something like that. Yeah. He like turned kind of a bit mm-hmm. odd and yeah. Yeah. Which is that's really fun. And I'm into that. That's very good. It's fun that you joined the Templars, because I had a little bit where I was thinking that I was going to join the Templars, because the lead up to in the Mage's Quest is crazy. Mm-hmm. You meet Fiona. She's acting a little weird. She
doesn't remember meeting you, right?
No. Which is super odd. She didn't tell me why, still to this day. But then she says that she pledged all of the free mages to Tevinter. And I was like, huh, interesting choice. Why did you do that? That's crazy. That's bad, actively very bad. And then a Tevinter guy comes out and is like, yep, you know, well, they'll be citizens after they work as slaves for 10 years, because then they can be counted as citizens instead of just, you know, slaves. And I was like, okay. And I turned to her, what is happening here? This sucks. This is a really bad situation.
Wretched.
Yeah, this whole thing is awful.
But she looks like she is surprised by that second half.
Yeah, she didn't know that.
She thought she was getting Tevinter's protection, because Tevinter is the only place on the globe that we know about that has a free mage society that isn't the Dalish, who don't really have like a societal structure. So like Tevinter is the only country in Thedas that we know of that has free mages. So these mages, these Templars, sorry, these Tevinter mages storm in and they're like, oh, a mage rebellion and the entire world is trying to kill you now. Don't worry. We'll protect you. We've got Tevinter. We understand the plight of mages. And Fiona, susceptible, vulnerable, literally the entire world wants her dead for inciting a rebellion. I could see it. I could see her making a bad call and trusting the wrong people.
The wrong people. It's weird that she doesn't remember us, though. That's what's odd. Just met her recently. Which is what's weird and strange about it. Yeah.
And we say that she's not left. She's not left Redcliffe.
Yeah. And I still don't know what the fuck's up with that.
Well, I think it's implied that
he might wipe her mind or whatever.
that he did some magic about it. That's the other thing that we forgot to mention. On your way into Redcliffe, before you get in, Redcliffe is closed and there are rifts about, and there's something special about them.
Is there?
Yes.
What is it?
These rifts are exuding this magic that if you step in certain places, it slows down time for you. And so if you accidentally step in the wrong spot while you're fighting that rift outside, time slows down and you can't move very fast. And so you're casting your spells in slow motion, you're moving in slow motion, etc.
People said that there's something strange about them, but I'm just a ranged archer. I was so far away.
Oh, so you didn't step in.
I just didn't get any of the weird time stuff or see it because I was too far away. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Because you do some investigation. Then you go to Chantry, where you believe... You go to a Chantry for some reason. Felix, who's his son, this guy who's Magister Alexis.
Alexius, yeah. Magister Alexius,
He is he's the one who's like doing this. Sorry, I didn't get that. The internet isn't reachable. Because of Alexis. That's funny.
Oh, that is funny. scares me, terrifies me.
Yeah, that was scary. You should unplug that evil. But he's the Tevinter guy who's put them in this dreadful, dreadful deal. You get a letter from Felix, who's his son, who's ill, and is like, hey, you need to go meet at this place. You go to that place, and you find number one gay man, Dorian, who's fighting, and he's like, hey, I need a hand. And you're like, okay, and then you help fight.
Most well-dressed man in Thetis.
With his stupid little mustache. And dumb.
So many belts. I love him so much. Him and all his belts.
Him and all of his bloody belts. And then you like close his fade and then you start speaking to him and he's like, yeah, the Magister is part of a Tevinter cult called the Venatori. And not only that, he is manipulating time somehow with weird magic. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. And he's like, yeah, we should go to... And then you meet him again, the Magister. It turns out that Felix and Dorian are kind of like working together to stop him doing this weird time stuff, because all of this weird time stuff keeps opening up rifts
around. But importantly, how they're working together is that Felix distracts him by pretending to be ill. And the Magister is like... completely willing to drop this entire political talk to go tend to him.
Yeah, yeah. But then Felix comes back to you later with Dorian and is like, oh, hey, here's a... he wants to invite you to the keep. So like, have a meeting. And you're like, well, this is a trap. And Emma's like, well, it's obviously a trap. And then you go back to Haven, and this is where I stopped before recording. Because after you go back to the war room, you have this whole discussion about the fact that this is so clearly a trap, going to a keep on an invitation, and you know that him and this whole cult are like obsessed with you. You then go on to a mission that was so good it upset me a little bit.
Yeah. These are two of the best adventures in any Dragon Age game.
Tell me what happens with the Templars.
Well, first of all, no, I want to talk about that discussion in the war room before you go in, because you're all talking about how it's clearly a trap. And this is one of my favorite little bits. You're all talking
everyone's
about arguing how it's a little
and trying to give
trap.
Other points.
And they're arguing about how you're going to evade the trap part, like how you're going to defend yourself. And Liliana is like, wait, I know Redcliffe Castle and I know a secret way in. Because in Origins, when we all need to sneak in to Redcliffe Castle.
Secret little way.
Go into that little secret place. And so, yeah, I love that. That's like my favorite.
It is fun because it's also like it. I'm really interested in what happens at the Templars because
it's also really great. It's good.
It's like everyone is so like in their beliefs. It's just like everyone is arguing with each other. Like Liliana's like, no, we have to get the mages' help. The Templars aren't going to do shit. Cassandra is also on that mindset, which I think is really fun. That the two people who are in the Chantry are both like, no, I don't want the Templars' help actually. But then Cullen is like hard. No, mages can't be fucking trusted. This is an insane thing. We have to get the Templars because mm-hmm. they're strength and mages aren't. And you're going to walk into a trap and then you're going to die. And then what's going to be the fucking point of any of this? It's great. And then it gives you like multiple outs to be like, okay, fine. I will actually join the Templars. Or no, I'm going to join mages, which I think is really neat. Tell me about the Temples.
So, Templars is different in that you don't have this little like preamble where when you go to Redcliffe and you kind of get introduced to the story first. You just have the option to choose Champions of the Just right off the bat before you even unlock Redcliffe. Mm-hmm. So anyway, after I met Connor and he terrified me about my own mortality as a mage and weakened my resolve for the very first time.
Oh my God.
Made me fear demons for once in my life. He literally put the fucking fear of God into me and I left with my tail between my legs and selected Champions of the Just on the board. So it's been a long time since I've done this one.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the Mage Quest is my all-time favorite quest in any video game ever. But mm-hmm. this one is also very, very strong. It's
cool.
It's good.
Yeah.
So this one, we're Cassandra's still iffy about it, really because of our interaction with the Lord Seeker. In Orlais.
Yeah. Val Royale.
In Val Royale. So now we open the quest up. We get this invitation all of a sudden from the Lord Seeker saying, he's sorry about that interaction. He wants to invite us, to come and meet and to mm-hmm. discuss relations and to repair Thetis together. And Cassandra's like, this is weird. He was acting so strange. I don't understand how he could turn around and be acting normal again so fast. It doesn't make sense. Cullen is a blind idiot and he's just like, great. and so this takes you to Theronfall Redoubt in Orlais, there's a bunch of, you're at this like big keep, like a military keep, and there's a ton of like fancy Orlesians greeting you outside, like in dresses and masks and everything. And they're like, they're here thinking like, it seems like you're about to go meet a diplomat, mm-hmm. like, it just seems very, formal. You meet this guy, Lord Esmeral Abernash, who introduces himself to me and is such a little cunt, right away. And I am, rude to him. And I brought Sarah. I brought Iron Bull. And
Varric, Cassandra, Vivienne.
I think I brought Sarah, Iron Bull, and Cassandra. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure that's what I did. The third person, whoever it was very quiet and didn't have a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
Sarah and Iron Bull, I did not do this on purpose, were the right people. Like, they were just magically the perfect people. They had so much to say. They were so opinionated. They loved it when I was rude to the Orlesians. They loved when I was rude to the nobility. And they were just both so into, like they had so many thoughts about this. So then we walk in. And we're, you know, we're invited, one of the people that we're invited with, and this is somebody that we saw back at Val Royeau, was Knight Templar Barriss, who's like the young black Templar that like meets us with the, like is with the Lord Seeker when we meet him in Val Royeau.
Sure.
He doesn't say much to us in Val Royeau, but here he's like, he meets us outside and he's like, yeah, the Lord Seeker wants to meet you, but he hasn't come out. We're all freaked out. We don't know what's going on. He's giving special lyrium to a bunch of, you know, the Templars, and like he's making all these decisions without talking to any of us. And we literally don't even know where he is. So like we would love for you to come in and meet him, but something's not right. So he tips you off that like he's not feeling good about this, the men aren't feeling good about what's going on, but you're like, okay, well I'm still gonna do this. But then he tells you that, okay, before you meet him, there's a little ritual that everybody who meets, you know, the Lord Seeker has to do. It's a tradition. You have to raise these banners. And outside on the wall, there are these three banners that stand for Andraste, Templars, and People. And you raise them in order of where you rank them in importance. And so the highest one, the middle one, and the lower one, right?
Yeah.
And so as you're doing it, your friends are commenting on it. So I like kind of moved them around a little bit to like just see what people would say. And like what people had to say. I had raised Andraste, and Cassandra was like, oh yeah, it is Cassandra that I had, because she says, so it was Sarah, Iron Bull, Cassandra was my party. Because Cassandra is like, really? you've told me about your beliefs. That's kind of weird. And I was like, no, that was just a mistake. So I wound up doing People, Templars, and Andraste at the lowest. And I only did Templars in the middle because I figure order over religion feels like something I can get behind as a Qunari. Sarah makes a comment when you raise the people's flag, and she's like, of course, what do you, any of you leaders have if you don't have any of them, you know? And so everybody has a little bit of an opinion. And then you get to like kind of tell everybody why you made this decision. Was it politics? Was it random? Was it faith? And I said it was my politics that made me choose. So then we go in to meet the Lord Seeker. Surprise, the Lord Seeker's not there, because we were just told that he has not come out and he's been cagey and everything's been weird. Instead, we meet Knight Captain Denim, who is masked and hooded and like,
oh,
also super weird. And he starts to like question your alliance and stuff, and he comes out kind of hot, and you have an opportunity to kind of confront, and Abernash is introducing you, this noble, and I'm like, Barriss, what the fuck is going on with him? What's wrong? And so he starts to fight, and so now all of a sudden he starts to fight you. This like place that looks like it's set up for like a treaty to be signed turns into a battlefield, and the Templars start pouring out of the walls, and they have red lyrium growing out of their skin. And so they start attacking. and you got to fight through them. I'm realizing that I don't think I saved Abernash's life. I think he died. Oh, what a shame. Whoop. And so you kind of move through here, and you're moving through the courtyard, and there are all these red, you know, red infected Templars fighting against the other Templars who aren't infected, and your Inquisition people, and, you know, just random, you know, just random people around. And you start hearing this voice that is like beckoning you. And it's the voice of the Lord Seeker, but it's like echoey and weird, and it's like in your mind. And he's like beckoning you to come and confront him. And so you are moving your way through this humongous keep, all the way up to the top floor. And then you are finally met. You see the Lord Seeker, Lord Seeker Lucius, like at the door there, and he's turned his back on you and he's pointed towards the door, and you go to confront him. It cuts to a cutscene where you like are grabbing him by the shoulder and turning him around. And as soon as you like put him up against the wall, you slip through the wall and you are in the Fade.
Oh.
You go.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh my God. Fucking, all right, CW, Jesus. sure, okay. When signing with the mages, when convincing Cullen, hey, actually, no, I'm not gonna side with the Templars. I'm not changing my mind. I'm going with the mages. You all kind of make a battle plan as to how this shit is gonna work. Liliana is like, tell you what's gonna happen. You're gonna go in front. I'm gonna send me and some of my rogues. We're gonna slip into the secret area and we're gonna give you big old backup, like hidden from the shadows. No one's gonna know you're there. And I'm like, sick, that sounds awesome. I grab my team. My team is Solas, Dorian. You don't get a choice, you have to bring Dorian with you.
Correct. Yeah.
And I also brought Blackhall with me because them my boys. We go through and you meet someone who is just like the head guard, and they're like, it's just you here, though. It's just you supposed to be coming. None of these other people are allowed. I was like, well, tough. I'm coming in anyway. Mm-hmm. And he's like, actually, I specifically said, all right, I'll wait out here. And he's like, ugh, fine. Yes, you can bring all you and your team in. Yeah. I'm like, thank you. You go in. The magister's clothes are interesting because he wears this like big old hood that has these three spikes, one on top of the hood and then two at the sides that look a bit like elf ears, like really long extended elf ears, like flaps, which they're not, but they just kind of look reminiscent of them. And I thought that was an interesting design choice. And this one on the top of his head that makes him look like a fin. So I don't know what that's supposed to indicate or be symbolic of. You speak to him. He starts talking about the Elder One and how there is this being that he loves oh so greatly and is helping do shit. And you're like, huh, okay, I should probably leave. Then Dorian is like, well, hang on a second. And then Dorian starts speaking to him. And then in the background, as Dorian and this magister are having an argument, there are arrows like... and then hitting guards behind him as you know that it's like, Liliana is doing shit right now.
Yeah.
Then the magister realizes, oh shit, everything's going, like my people are dying. And then he whips out this amulet and then this big portal appears and then everything goes, and then Dorian like jumps in and then does a little magic and then everyone goes, blah.
Yep. Hey dorks, do you like mechs? Hope punk sci-fi? Tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do! They're three of the best things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers, waking mechs that kill, sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surrienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and... Robin, tell them the best part.
Settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. Pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Sup, dorks?
Listen, we know you. We know you have 100 original characters floating around in your head, and you're just waiting to talk about them, but no one ever asks.
Well, what if you could have one of your favorite fictional guys on your keys?
That's right! Hero Forge is adding the ability to have your Hero Forge character created onto acrylic keychains. They'll be the same scale as Hero Forge standees, meaning there will be a perfect match for your on-table miniature.
So head on over to Hero Forge to get your characters on keychains and have everyone asking you, oh, who's that cool little guy?
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the woods. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs. Brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you are somewhere else. You don't know where. It's you and Dorian. Someone's like, what the fuck? You're not supposed to be here. And then starts attacking you randomly. You attack and kill this one person. There are these huge red delirium spikes everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And you're like, where the fuck are we? And Dorian's like, I don't know. He shot a thing at us. I counted it. And now we're here. And I don't know what the fuck happened. I guess he's put us just somewhere else. And you're like, okay, sure. He's like, let's go and speak to people and we'll find out. Specifically, no, he's like, it's not where. He does know this. It's not a reveal for later. He's like, it's not where we are. It's when we are.
Because you're still in the same place, right?
We're in the same place. We're still in Redcliffe. And he's like, and this guy has been doing a lot of weird time magic, as I said before. I helped make the amulet that he used to cast this spell. I just don't know if this is past or future. And you're like, okay, sure. Crazy. You break out of jail. You run along. Red lyrium is everywhere. Huge spikes of it. Every single room is decimated with bodies and rotting corpses. And there's like giant holes in the walls and everything is being decimated. I first came across Fiona, who is like half in the wall. And when you're speaking to her, you're like, hey, what the fuck has happened? And she says, well, it's been a year since you disappeared. We obviously lost everything. Everyone is dead. And you're like, oh my God, it's an AU. It's an alternate timeline. It is that one of my favorite tropes where you jump forward in time and you find out all the things, all the evil villains' plans. Mm-hmm. And then and you got to stop them and you see all of your friends a year into the future and what will happen to
them. Who did you bring?
I brought Solas and Blackwall.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, which was fun. Because Dorian is with you, but he is jumped through time with you. So nothing horrific happens to him. Fiona also says that because I'm like, where the fuck did all this red lyrium come from? And she says, well, red lyrium is people. If you get infected, if you like spend too much time around red lyrium, you then start to become red lyrium. Like you start, it starts to grow in you. And then after some time and you fully become it, people will come down and mine you to give red lyrium to other people. So it's a full infection is what has happened, which is fucking crazy. But a really cool little lore drop there. I loved that. I met Blackwall, who has gone fully mad, and he thinks that he's dead, and he also is like, well, you're obviously dead, so I've gone entirely mad. But then I'm like, hey, isn't it a good thing to try and save the world? And he's like, that's true, it is. Yeah, let's go out. I'll break out of here with you and we'll try to save the world together. Then I speak to Solas, who sees you and he's like, oh my god, you didn't die. And then Dorian starts saying techno magic babble. And Solas is like, right, so you've jumped a year into the future. If yeah. we do this, we can go a year into the past and we can save everything. And then I'm like, you understood that? And he's like, of course I did. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yay! I say, okay, love heart. Yay, love heart. And then I follow Solas and Dorian as they save the world. Me and Blackwall hang back and talk amongst each other. We then meet. And then we're like, okay, we have to go find Liliana because she's somewhere here. And then you see her and she's old. She's so old and she doesn't say why.
She is not old. That's bad rendering. She is scarred. She's been tortured for information for the last year and she hasn't given it up. If we remember from Liliana's past, yes, in Origins,
she has done this before.
She was Marjolaine. She didn't give up Marjolaine for anything.
And Marjolaine betrayed her as well.
But now this time, another year, a year of torture.
Yeah.
And she gives up fucking nothing.
And it's crazy as well because the guy's torturing her and then you walk in and then Liliana just immediately kills him, showing she could have gotten out at any time, but it's like there was no point.
Yeah.
So now then as soon as you turn up, she's like, oh, cool. And then kills the guy immediately. Yep. And then you're like, what happened? She's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. You're like, you're not going to ask how we got here? She's like, I don't care. This whole thing, this has happened. We are going to either stop it. And you're like, we could go back. And she's like, sure, do whatever you need. When pushed on it more, she's like, you don't see this as a thing that has happened because you have just turned up. You're going to go back and none of it's happened. But I lived this year. And all of this stuff has happened to me.
Yeah, she's like, stop talking to me like a fucking child. Like, I went through all of this.
Yeah, and
it's badass.
She does the whole thing of, yeah, she's the best. This is like as hardened of a Liliana as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Is fully like, yeah, she has this whole speech of, this isn't real to you because you're going to go back in time and fix it, but I've lived it and then I'm not going to exist soon. So let's just fucking do it. I don't want to talk to you. Dorian's like, well, what happened? She's like, I'm not telling you what happened. It doesn't matter what happened because it's not going to exist soon. Let's just do it. And then she forces everyone to go do it. You go to the Magister's room and then it's locked and you have to find several pieces of red lyrium taken from the bodies of his various goons. You take all these little pieces of red lyrium, you boop, 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 chuck it all in the slots. The door swings open. He's there. Felix is also there, and Felix is now bald. And I didn't get a chance to look at him, but he was on his knees, not doing anything.
Barely alive.
Mm-hmm. There is also, I read some journal entries from the Magister. He's like, everything I did literally didn't matter. Like, everything's gone.
And Felix is still not getting better.
Felix isn't getting better. The Elder One didn't do any of the promises. Everything is just destroyed now. So you speak to him and he's like, I don't really care that you're here. Like, he doesn't try to stop you. He doesn't turn around when you enter. He's like, what's up? Everything's dead, actually, and none of this is good. And you're like, oh shit, sorry. Can I have the amulet? And he's like, no. Then you talk to him about it, and he's like, no, I don't want you to have the amulet, because if I kill you, then maybe everything will be fine. You can try and convince him, but it doesn't work, or at least it didn't on my thing. Liliana then grabs Felix, and I was like, hey, Liliana, what if we don't? And then Liliana's like, nope, fuck you, and then kills Felix, slits his throat, and then you have a little boss fight.
I want the world back is one of my
I want the world back.
Favorite
line. Yeah. Because you're like, oh, hey, give me the amulet. And he says, give me my son and I'll give you anything you want. She's like, I want the world back. And then slits
his throat.
Yeah.
Fuck. I love her so much. It's so awesome. It's so good.
And then you have a boss fight. You kill him. Dorian's really upset about it, and then you're like, hey, listen, the one a year ago isn't dead. And he's like, I guess that's true. You go back through time, you see him, and you reappear back from a year, teleported into the future, teleporting back to nowadays, seconds after you were teleported the first time. And then he just gets on his knees and is like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's done. Like, that was my biggest spell, and you avoided it easily. And I was like, let him live. Just go take him away. Because he surrendered, and he's a great little villain. Because he's in one mission. He does one of the coolest things ever, which is he flings you forward in time. And then he has this whole thing of like, he doesn't want to do this. He didn't want to do this in the first place. He just wanted his son to be all right. And he thinks that this is the way to do it. But then you prove in the future that it's not. Like, you know, he's like, yeah, I didn't. It's like everything has been destroyed and it's literally for naught. So then when you see him again in the modern time, it's like it doesn't take a lot of convincing because he's already most of the way there. He's doing everything because of desperation. And I thought that was really cool. And I was like, let him live. Just take him the fuck away. I don't care. And you know what? I'm going to finish my bit.
Yeah. Did you catch what Felix has? Because I think that's a really interesting part.
No, I didn't.
So Dorian tells you that, like, Felix, Magister Alexius was his, like, mentor, was, like, teaching him. Like, they were working together and teaching him magic. And that Felix and him are, like, best friends who've, like, grown up together. They've known each other their whole lives. And Felix caught the blight, like, was infected by Darkspawn. And I believe, I could be misremembering this part, but I do believe that Alexius lost Felix's mom in that same attack. So, like, Felix's mom gets infected. Felix gets infected. Mom dies. Felix now has the blight and is gonna turn into a Darkspawn. But Magister Alexius's time magic is so potent that even though the Elder One doesn't deliver on his promises, he keeps Felix alive with the blight for like well over a year. We've always seen the blight kills people in a matter of days. So like Alexius is a powerful.
So this guy is. Yeah.
Mage. Yeah.
I mean, his like weird time shit in present day is opening up Fade Rifts. Like, and then he casually throws you a year into the future. Like, this guy's.
Yeah.
And this is the first mission.
Yeah.
The first mission. This guy's crazy.
He is crazy.
I take him away. I'm like, don't kill him, please. Then someone very angrily storms in. It's Queen Honora, which I was very excited by. And she yells a lot at, like, what the fuck is going on? And then she says something of, like, the mages, she like denounces mages and proves the point that they have like nowhere else to go. And then I'm like, you could come hang out with me if you wanted, because that's why I'm here in the first place, to get you on board. Oh, that's it, because Queen Nora's like, hey, first enchanter, Fiona, I want you out of here. The Tevinter Imperium, that deal's dead. So she's like, fuck, there's truly nowhere for these mages to go. And I was like, well, come with me. Come, like, live in the Inquisition with all of your guys in safety. There's hundreds of you. And then Fiona is like, and then there's like a comment of like, are we going to keep them as prisoners and just force them to help? Or are we going to have them as allies? I had Solas and Blackhall and Dorian with me. And then Blackhall says like, well, prisoners don't make good, like, don't work very hard.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
And I was like, yep, that's true. I wasn't going to have them as prisoners anyway, but yeah, let's have them be allies. And then you get a lot of approvals and disapproval notifications when you do that.
Yes.
Which is very fun. Yeah. And then I went back and Cullen is super pissed at the fact that there's a bunch of mages just free walking around. I told Cullen to swivel on it. Yeah, and that's where I got up to. Tell me all about your magical story after your shitty little cliffhanger. Notice how I didn't do a cliffhanger? I'm a good boy.
You didn't have to, because your first part was the cliffhanger.
Okay, I guess so.
All right, so we push Lord Seeker Lucius through the door, and whew, we're in the Fade. And it is, the first part of it is like the, you're in this, like, it looks like Haven. It looks like the chantry at Haven, where you're currently set up. And there are demons everywhere, frozen in time. Everything is dark and swirling and weird. And as you're kind of moving through this, the voice of Lord Seeker Lucius continues to talk to you through it, and keeps trying to tempt you into going forward. And as you're moving, you he starts to tell you what are you gonna do? Like, what are you gonna be like as the herald? Like, what mm-hmm. is, you know, what is going to be, what are you gonna be like? And as you're moving through, you start to see these weird scenes of Cassandra, Cullen, Josephine, the demon grabs Cullen by the throat and like slits his throat and is like, how did that make you feel? And like starts to then show you scenes where it's like your companions and the people that you've met. And then this weird grayscale version of you, where it's just like me, like this canary figure in completely like black and white, but with green glowing eyes. And I'm doing different things. In one scene, I'm dead on the table and Liliana and Cassandra are like shrouding me. And like in other scenes, I'm telling people that the Inquisition is like the New World Order. In others, I'm imprisoning all of the mages. And I have Grand Enchanter Fiona locked up. And in every one, this demon starts to talk to me and reveals himself to be the Lord Seeker, reveals himself to be possessed by an envy demon that has taken over his form. And wants to know me. And so no matter what I say, every time I encounter one of these scenes, I'm given a choice of something to say, something to react. And you choose something. And it doesn't matter what you choose, because there's no right answer. The answer always is that envy will have something to say that's like, oh, so you're defensive. Yeah. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Oh,
they Twitter comment you.
Yeah. They Twitter comment you. They really do. And then But then as you start to go through like deeper and deeper, you finally get like to this final thing. He also like mocks your choice in the ritual before with the flags. And it's like, oh, you chose the people. Is that because you want people to think that that's who you are? Like, do you want, like, is it because you want them to love you? Like, so, like something like that. And then as you're going deeper in, this other voice, like a younger voice, starts talking in again, in all in your head. And Envy and this voice start fighting. And he just starts defending you. And then you walk into what is your room at Haven, your bedroom. And you walk into there, it triggers a cutscene, and you meet this young boy. He's standing like a creep on the ceiling when you first meet him. He's a young man with a amazing hat and wearing rags. And it is our boy Cole.
Oh my God, he's my favorite boy. I read his book.
You read his book. And he tells you a little bit about his past even, and says like, I used to be like this. I used to act this way. He doesn't know that you don't have to. Like you, like, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to help people. I can help you. And so he moves with you now, not physically in the space, but he's like in your mind with you and talking. And so now, like, it's time to escape this Chantry prison, and you're escaping the Chantry at Haven, and they're all, you see more of these scenes, and they're escalating, with you just acting like a monster, this like horrible pseudo version of you. Josephine is locked up screaming like, whatever, you know, the Herald wants me to say, just tell me what I need to apologize for. And like, she's just begging to be let out.
Oh my God.
It's really like just trying to paint you as a monster. And Envy is telling you that like, when he's gotten the Lord Seeker, but this is not good enough. You're the one he wants. He just needs to learn about you enough to take you over. And Cole keeps telling you, just keep moving. Don't stay in these places of memory and like, and think on them too much, because the more you stay here, the more he's going to learn how you feel about things and learn you, and he's going to copy you and become you. You just have to keep moving. And so you go further and further. You get out of here, and now all of a sudden things are looking familiar. This is the place you just fought through, at the keep that you were just at, but everything's moving in slow motion. You can see the fight still happening with the Templars, the Red Templars and the regular Templars fighting each other. And so you can move through here. You have to fight, but the fight is really easy because they're all moving in slow motion and you're not. And you make your way back up to where you confronted the Lord Seeker in the first place. But when you finally get there this time, it's not the Lord Seeker at the door. It's that uncanny version of you, that blacked out version of you. And you confront him in the same way and you push yourself back out. And that's how you wind up back in this great hall of the keep, back in the real world, where the Templars are freaking out because Red Templars are attacking from fucking everywhere, and there's a barrier up that's protecting the like upper barracks where the Lord Seeker for real is physically being kept. And so now we've got a timer mission, and I normally hate timer missions, but this one's pretty cool because they're like, the regular Templars are like, hey, they've been giving that red lyrium shit to all of the officers so that we would not question this. We still need regular lyrium, but all that's down here is red lyrium. If we're going to fight off these Red Templars, we need regular lyrium to power ourselves. And tells you that, one, you need to go first, take out these Red Templar leaders that are about, and also find us a cache of regular non-tainted lyrium so that we can stand a chance. And so You have to go to different parts of the map, and every time you leave the main hall, where the Templars are fighting the Red Templars, a timer starts clicking down until they get overwhelmed.
Oh my gosh.
And so you've got to run, find these Red Templar generals, take them out, save the regular Templars, and then find the cache. And then you come back to the main hall. You can like take multiple trips and you can come back and like help defend the hall in the meantime. And like fight there for a little bit. But then as soon as you leave again, the timer continues and clicks back down again. It's really exciting. And then when you finally,
that sounds really cool.
And then when you finally do it, you come back with the lyrium. The Templars all dose themselves up on that magic heroin. And then they're finally ready to take down this barrier. They take down the barrier, and you're headed back up to go confront this Envy Demon for real. Envy Demon is unbelievably sick looking.
Yeah.
Demon design coming out the ass. So the Envy Demons, we see them in all the Fade Rifts, but we never get like an up close of them. They're the ones that can like sink down into a little rift in the ground and pop back up and knock you over.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Annoying things. But we get him up close, this Envy Demon. He's like sick. He looks fucking so evil and he's so cool. And we get a little cutscene of him being just absolutely fucking disgusting. and so we.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just Googled it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There are some fun consequences if you let the gauge deplete in those timer missions that I think is very fun. I wound up not doing that. I wound up not doing the worst one, thankfully, because I didn't want to. But if the gauge goes down by like 50%, 3 to 4 Red Templar horrors will be there. At 75%, though, Templar Barriss will die at the end of the fight.
Oh my God.
If you let it get down to 75% at any point. I let it get down to 50% a couple of times, because I was just truly hunting for these guys. You know. So yeah, it's awful. It's stressful. Thankfully, Sir Barriss survived. So we return to the Great Hall. We confront this thing. We kill the Envy Demon. Oh my God. What else? We meet. Oh, that's right. So then when we leave, we meet all of the Templars led by Sir Barriss. And Abernash. Oh no. Oh, I didn't save him.
You didn't save him.
Sir Barriss and the rest of the Templars are here. And they ask like, hey, what do you need? You did what we asked. What can we do? Mm. And I said, you have to help against the fucking breach, please. Mm-hmm. The order says that they said that they're leaderless. They're gutted. We have to rebuild. And I say, actually, no. Disband the Templars. No more Templars. In fact, the Templars, all of you, you work for the Inquisition. There's no more Templar order. Goodbye. And I pop them in the Inquisition.
Whoa.
People have big feelings about that. Vivienne doesn't like it. Iron Bull doesn't like it. Cassandra doesn't like it. Blackwall doesn't like it. Dorian is not there. Oh, that's interesting. He disapproves retroactively about it. Cole likes it. Sarah loves it. Solas loves it.
Oh, that's awesome. It.
More disapprovals than approvals on this one.
Oh my god. That's we go back crazy. To Haven. I can't believe you've disbanded the Templar Order. That's
yep.
That's way more impactful than what I did. Because mages are going to exist regardless. I just said, oh, the rebellion, who cares? But the Templars are still knocking around. You helped the mages more than I did. And I recruited the mages. You disbanded. You were like, I'll help the Templars. By the way, Templars, you're done.
You're done. Templars you're are done. Fucking done. Templars, never heard of them. You are Inquisition soldiers.
That's crazy.
You're Inquisition soldiers now. And I go back to Haven, and everyone is like, whoa, you did what without asking us? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Was someone else there to assist me in making this decision? Or did you all send me to go make this decision on my own and get recruits to close the breach? And they were like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. True.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, anyway, some Templars are here already and they're ready to help close the breach. And I was like, are they? Great.
Wow.
Like, don't make me make fucking decisions on my own and then be pissed at me.
And then be pissy that
when you don't
the decisions
like what
aren't
they
your
are.
Favorite decisions.
So,
and then you've
anyway,
got Cole in your team, which is...
And now I've got Cole in my party. Oh, that's another thing. While we're having this fight and I'm like, let me make my own fucking decisions about things. And they're like, okay, fine. No, we get it. We get it. That was a hard choice and it was all on you. We do get it. And I was like, thank you. And then... Magic Ghost Boy appears on the war table and everybody freaks out. And I'm like, oh, wait, one more thing. I did meet a Magic Ghost Boy and I told him he could live with us. And they're like, what? Everybody
oh
is like,
gosh.
Are you fucking kidding me? And Liliana's like, he can stay. I was like, yeah, I know. Everybody else is like, the fuck are you talking about? And everybody, Cassandra's like, all right, well, let's just keep an eye on him. And he just fucking disappears. So,
oh, my God.
So now
that's
we've got Cole.
The coolest shit ever. I can't mm-hmm. believe you disbanded the Templars. I've been trying to do that since Origins.
I know.
And you do it in the first mission of Inquisition.
And, oh, God, so good. Both of these quests are just so great.
That's crazy because a lot of people have said that Champions of the Just is way worse. And it's like, whatever. That's purely of opinion. However, comma, implications-wise, you disbanded the Templar Order. That's huge. That's like arguably the biggest thing anyone has done. And that's the biggest
yeah.
choice of any choice in the game.
Yeah.
In any of the games. It's like the most I could do was be like, I saved the world and my final choice was please have the little circle towers be free. And you broke into the Templars, decimated their leadership and was like, I'm in fucking charge now.
Yeah,
go to the fucking Inquisition.
Go to your room.
Go to your fucking room.
Go to your room.
Oh my god! I'm actually I don't know if this is really it or this is just what I'm reading into it. The fact that siding with the Templars fully lets you help mages more than siding with mages is if they meant to do some form of weird commentary on that is fucking. Genius.
It
That's
yeah.
actually crazy.
Well, because, and then, but I do think the other side is so extreme. If you have them rebuild the Templar Order and then side with you, you have strengthened the Templars while the mages are still considered apostates the entire world
and
over.
And still scrambling.
So,
so
your other decision, like your other option here is to basically militarize the police force like, and while mages are declared like all illegal and kill on sight. Like,
you
have the option to either disband them and have full control over them entirely, or like strengthen them and set them fucking loose on whatever. I mean, so you have like a very extreme choice.
But then, you know, you've got the mage one, which is like either actually I'm going to have all the mages be my personal like guard and then imprison them all and indenture them into, you know, the Inquisition, or you can be like, no, we're allies together. But in my world, the fucking Templars still exist. They still have their leader. They're like the Templars are still running rampant. I'm not helping mages that much, aside from being like, just get behind us. Like, that's all I'm doing. So it's like, if you go with the Templars, it feels like you can go one extreme or the other. But with the mages, you're kind of still in the middle. Like, you're really not, like, you're either like middle bad prisoners.
Yeah.
Or middle good. Stand behind me. I'll go first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, that is. Yeah,
it was great. I do think that, like, just in terms of like the epic drama, like the storytelling, the drama of In Hushed Whispers is still a little bit better. It's such a good dramatic story.
It's In Hushed Whispers is a, so it actually gave me a lot of thoughts about this game.
Mm.
I don't like the openness of the world. I'm just kind of going around and I'm just like picking up random materials to use in a thing that I don't really care about. There are some stories that I'm doing that I'm like, that's kind of neat, but nothing is like interesting. But then we do this mission and I'm like, that fucking rules. It's a contained, outstanding Monster of the Week kind of episode of a TV show. And it's like, you go into the future and then you see all the stuff and then you come back and then it's like all that stuff. And I'm like, man, it's so fucking cool. Wow. Wow. I wish that they had not done the open world shit and they just really focused and pinpointed in on like, we're going to have 20 missions and they're all going to be this level of like, wow, that's crazy. Because this is arguably, possibly could be considered to be the best mission in the series so far.
I think it is. In House Whispers.
It's fucking awesome. But then it's like, you know, Origins had a lot of these. It's like, you go to a place, this is the story of the place. This is the whole, like, you know, here's the Basilian
Forest.
Right,
each location that you did was like one of these.
Really cool. I think that's what I loved about Origins was then every place had this really cool big story. And this felt like Origins again, where it like it was this crazy, really cool. And you had two of them. You could pick which one that you wanted to do. And there was a really good story I could do without running around killing bears for years. Because my quest log... overwhelming. Don't like it. I have 100,000 quests. A lot of them are like, all you need to do is hand this in or collect X amount of this. And it's like, okay, sure. But then I go to the war table and then I also have 15 things that I have to pay attention to. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to go here and then you're going to go here and do this. And then you're going to go here and do this. Okay. And then I'm going to go to this place. And this is all in the hinterlands. It's too much. But if they like really tightened it up and did missions like this constantly, this would be one of the best shit ever. Anyway, that's just my personal thought. Like, I was playing this and thinking, man, I wish this was just the game. To the point where it's like, you know, I will do a lot of the open world stuff, but I'll exclusively do it to level up because I'm not super interested in that.
Yeah.
But I do really like the story.
I would also super recommend looking at the quests on the open world and seeing if they feel like they matter to you. Because some of them are like feel like fetch quests, but some of them do have interesting things behind them, and just pick and choose based on what feels like
interesting to you. The thing is that like the person I'm playing is someone who wants to help everyone, and it's like I don't know if I want the story to be she realizes really quick that she can't do that because it's too overwhelming.
Sure.
Because I helped lead a big ox thing back to the farm.
Druffalo.
Yeah, and then I helped get Mr. Woolsey back to the thing.
My favorite
and that's
lad.
Another
My
one.
Favorite fancy little lad.
And then I
Mr.
fucking,
Woolsey.
Like, and then I planted flowers at someone's grave, and it's like I'm doing all these things, and it's like I feel like they are all important because they're this one woman like helping as many people as possible. But also it's like, man, there's a lot of cruft, and the mission that is curated is the best shit that I've done in a,
yeah,
in
I agree.
A second.
Sloane will kill me in my sleep if I don't mention this to you. It's really annoying and it's kind of hard to make it happen. But the Druffalo, if you lead it back home through that impossible Fade Rift, it will get attacked by demons and then it will 1v1 the entire Fade Rift without you having to do anything.
Oh my God. I didn't know that. It's already
It's really hard to get the Druffalo to actually go in the fucking direction that it needs to in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
But it is true that that will happen because the Druffalo has never-ending health and never-ending shield.
Oh,
it can't die.
Shit.
It's got plot armor, so it will simply just kill every demon there, and you can just hang back and watch it happen.
Damn. I thought the opposite, so I ran through that fucking thing. I became soulless so I could teleport through the rift and get to the other side as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Damn. I've already given that stupid Druffalo into the
That's
stupid
all right.
farm.
I hate the Druffalo. I don't. He just doesn't go where he's supposed to. Not like Lord Woolsey, who does exactly what he's supposed to.
Who you go up to. Because I was worried. Because I saw Lord Woolsey quest and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Am I going to have to lead this fucker like four times as long back? And then I was like, hello. And he was like, ah, okay. And then
yeah,
I was just like, just go back. And I went back and he was like, oh, hi, thanks for sending him back here. I was like, I just told him to go back. This guy is the smartest thing in the world.
He's very wise and he has a fancy little voice.
He does have a fancy little voice. He spoke, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, he's Lord Woolsey.
All right.
So after this was all done and said, people have opinions at camp. I talked to everybody at Haven. Everybody has some opinions. Solas was kind of cold to me. He was like, oh, so the Templars will help. Cool. I was like, you want to tell me how you really feel about it? the fact that I didn't get mages to help. But then I went ahead and did the, we got word that, some of Inquisition's people were taken prisoner, in the Fallowmire. And so I went there and this is ghosty, spooky little.
It's a little spooky quest. Zone because we were in the Fallowmire in Dragon Age Awakening.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So Fallowmire has gotten worse. And
crazy.
I took Cole to this one. Cole and
Iron guy.
Cole and
yeah. I'm excited for my
Sarah.
Team. I know that my team is going to be Solas, Blackwall, and Cole for almost the whole game because I love all of them individually very much.
I'll
switch
them
out, but
I love
Cole. I remember Cole from my first playthrough. I thought he was just the best.
He's great.
And when I said I read his book, like I wasn't lying. I admittedly, I didn't finish it, but I listened to the audiobook of like most of the book that he is in.
Yeah.
Asunder, which I thought
he's
was really cool.
He's already mentioned Evangeline to me in passing in his like banter dialogue. So I rescued my soldiers. From there, and I recruited that one guy who Stormbringer maybe is his name. I don't know.
Oh,
he's the nephew of the guy that took all your people prisoner, and he's like, "Ah, my uncle's an idiot. You're clearly superior. Do you want help?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah. you got it, buddy," or something like that. So yeah, so I got him as an agent. And I think that's pretty much all I did. That's pretty much everything. Cool. Did you do anything extra?
No, because I beat my mission and then I
Oh, that's right. You
went
immediately
onto this call immediately.
Yeah. Oh god.
No, I spoke I spoke to Sarah and I did have a fun interaction because she was being really vague and then I decided that Helwyn is very quippy back to Sarah because like she's a peak of kindness to everyone, but Sarah was like a little snippy, so then I kind of like the friendship of both them being snippy to each other. Sarah's again just being very vague on where she's like, I think she just says she's from the streets or something, not telling you specifically where. And the option that I picked, my Inquisitor Helwyn said, ah, we had fun in street and slash or local tavern.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny.
That's a good bit of dialogue.
The most charming thing that my character's done, definitely.
That's a fun little bit. I like that so much. I haven't broken through with many people yet because I've been a little bit of a...
Angie.
I've just been a little bit like prickly, I would say. You know, because this is a lot of responsibility and everybody's kind of a dick to me. And also expecting a lot from me. And nobody trusts me and my fucking decisions. So it's just like, what am I fucking doing here, gang?
Yeah,
you know, so I've been pretty prickly. But Varric likes me. Solas likes me. And Cole's, you know, just met me, but he seems okay. Yeah, so we'll see.
Can you see what people's friendship is?
You can
don't like
tell.
That, I'll be honest.
You can tell because the way that they greet you starts to change.
Okay, sure. I like knowing though. Like I know that it's less role play driven, but I do.
Sure.
See the number. Like
I agree.
It's like in two. I think the relationship thing in two is God. I can't believe I'm speaking so much hype about two. I think the relationship in two is
the best. I agree.
So
I like
far.
It a lot.
The rival friendship thing, like. Because in Origins, it's just like, if they don't like you, then man, that sucks. But in 2, it's like, if they don't like you, you get interesting, different things from it. And in this, I don't think this is the same. Like, you know, I don't think that if they dislike you enough.
This is more like an Origins thing.
Yeah. It's a shame because the rivalry friendship mechanic is really cool. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Especially
cool.
The fact that you can romance people even if you're enemies. God, that's fucking hot.
Yeah. I agree. Next week we're doing In Your Heart Shall Burn and From the Ashes, which is a little nothing thing. Mostly
I wondered why it was two
burn.
Next week. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because it's the other one is just like it's just the follow-up thing, really.
Sure. I'm excited from it. Yeah. I hope. Will I get Cole this week? Because you got Cole and I miss him. I want him. Will I get Cole? You have to tell me, otherwise it's entrapment, you must say.
What do you think entrapment means?
It means you not giving me information. You're not telling me what I want to know in a situation when I want to know information.
I simply can't. I simply can't.
God.
Because I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you.
By this time in Dragon Age 2, we were in Legacy. We'd already finished Act 1. Isn't that fun? Damn.
That is fun. Yeah.
We carved through that game.
We carved through that game. I couldn't think of another way to cut it up, but
there's no way. There's literally zero way to do that game.
Yeah, that's the only way the chapters make sense. But this one, is good, because I find myself having lots of time to like futz around. So I'm having the best time
of my
life.
That's good, because our next, I'm probably going to be playing this on your sofa.
Yeah.
This next bit. Yeah, which is yes. fun. I have lots of time to fuck around.
It's going to be awesome.
I bought a new laptop, which came out. The laptop came out this year. It's a gaming laptop. So I have high, high hopes for a living that it's going to run Dragon Age Inquisition. I believe in myself.
I believe in you too.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
What's up? Are you looking for our outro?
I remembered it. Okay.
You remember it? I remember. Don't. Say it back. Tell me.
No.
I'll tell you it. No, because I'm not allowed to know it.
You're not.
I have to forget it every week until the final one.
What if I just made up a new one each time and you'd never catch on?
I'll never catch on. And then you'll be the winner. You'll win the podcast.
Yeah. Which is what I'm here to do.
Which is what you're here to do, yeah?
Yes. No, I will stick with it. So, Inquisition recruits.
Inquisition recruits.
Mm-hmm. Into darkness, yeah. Unafraid.
Into darkness, unafraid. Into darkness, unafraid. Whispered through the halls of Haven. Into darkness.
Hate that, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll never speak to you again then. How about that?
Bye.
Bye.